noblesse, the noblesse. And ever again divine. And you know what?
Shalom, beloved siblings. Shalom, shalom. My name is Aaron Freeman, sitting in for the legendary Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Delighted and honored to be here. Delighted to be hanging out with some of y'all. I want to thank the Nova M Radio gang for letting me come on down here on this beautiful, beautiful day. I'm not just thrilled to be here because I'm not in Chicago, my home, which I love very, very much, but it's like 28 degrees, you know, and so here in beautiful Phoenix, where it's like 70 degrees, is just slightly more magnificent. But I want to thank her, really, I do want to thank her. All the Drobneys and Dr. Mike and all the folks who allowed me to sit in here for just 4 days here, just enjoying the time, having a good time on the radio. So my name is Aaron Freeman. Did I mention that? So we're going to be talking in a little bit with my partner of mine, Ray Hanania. Ray Hanania and I have just gotten back from Israel, where we participated in the groundbreaking Israeli-Palestinian comedy tour, the first time that Israeli, Palestinian, and Jewish comedians ever appeared on the same bill in Israel. And then later on, we're going to talk about an ethical way to end the Iraq War, one of those little email nuggets that just kind of gave me a whole bunch of hope. But of course, not only, I'll tell you what really gives me hope today and makes me just very, very happy. It's not just that the United States has apparently cut a nice little deal to reduce the threat of nuclear weapons from North Korea. It's not just that we can all breathe a little easier, but John Bolton is really depressed about it. So you know that something good for our nation has occurred in the world. Bolton, I watched him on CNN today, and he was saying, oh, this is just a terrible deal. This is the kind of deal that, gasp, Bill Clinton would have done. And he said, Bolton says, I hope that the president just hasn't been fully briefed on it. It's not that just every single thing Bolton does is bad and everything that he's happy about is bad for the country, but when he's really depressed and sad, it gives me hope. It's kind of like a Barack Obama moment. It gives me hope. It makes me think that good things can be going on for our nation. So we'll talk about that a little later on here. But right now I really do, when I have on the line here a very good buddy of mine. Well, let me just say again, my name is Aaron Freeman. I was just here, if I can just press the button. There we go. So we were just last week, we were hanging out in Israel, where me, my buddy Ray Hanania, and Charlie Wardy and Yisrael Campbell, who are both Israeli comedians, were just participating in a really, really fun and interesting little endeavor, the Israeli-Palestinian Comedy Tour. We did 4 shows in Jerusalem to packed, sold-out houses, and we were down in Tel Aviv, and there was just gigantic, gigantic international press, and it was huge amounts of fun. Now, one of the primary organizers of the Israeli-Palestinian Comedy Tour is my partner, Ray Hanania. Ray Hanania is a journalist, a syndicated columnist, a longtime political reporter in Chicago, now a stand-up comedy and a stand-up comedian. He is stand-up comedy. Ray personifies stand-up comedy. But Ray Hanania, welcome to Nova M Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank God it's the best day of my life, my brother. So now you've had a week to look back in laughter at the Israeli-Palestinian Comedy Tour. What was your take on this? What did you learn, Grasshopper?
Well, you know, when I came back and I got a look at the the fence,
That's right.
I told my wife was...
Now, wait. You got to explain to people. Not everybody knows what you're talking about. The wall, fence. Let's see.
Well, they built the wall. A fence, or a barrier, the Israelis.
The Israeli government, yes.
Separating the Palestinians and the Israelis on Palestinian land. Of course, they built this wall. It's 26 feet tall. It's made out of concrete. And, you know, there's some...
Now, wait a minute, Ray. Ray, let us be genuinely fair. Most of the wall constitutes something like 5 to 10% of the security barrier.
Yes.
Most of it is not an actual wall, but...
That's right.
If you go
going through the desert, you will see fence. But where people live, it's cement, believe
me. I understand. I just want to make this very clear.
The sad part about this whole Middle East conflict is the topics are so serious, you can't get to the punchline, you know, without explaining it.
This is not
a serious discussion. But, yes, they're building a wall, which Israelis very artfully and creatively call a fence, because the majority of it is a fence. But the part I saw was the concrete wall. It was 26 feet tall. It was just enormous. So
it's very impressive.
And as part of the joke, I, you know, came back to my wife, who is Jewish, and I said to her that, you know, it's my hope that I can bring her to Israel so she can pray at the Wailing Fence. Which, of course, if you're Jewish, you know is the Wailing Wall.
Yes, true. We get it. It's a very good joke. Now, you performed stand-up comedy in Israel before, right?
Yes, for the people in Cell Block C, the prisoners. Cell Block C at the Ansar Prison, too, I think it was, and then Negev.
Now, actually, though,
they were a great audience. They didn't understand a word I said, but, you know, they were laughing.
Well, actually,
it may have had to do with those electrical prods. I don't know.
Well, that's entirely possible. But there was, as you know, there's a fairly famous Palestinian comedian who performed for Palestinians waiting in line at the checkpoints.
Yeah, you know, I don't know his name, but you're right. He does imitations, great imitations in Arabic and a little bit in English. And I think he even does Hebrew, where he imitates, you know, like Arafat, the late, you know, Palestinian president, Sharon, who is, you know, still... in a coma, I think.
That's true.
Abbas and Olmert, and he's very funny.
Yes, yes.
Impersonations are tremendous. I love them.
Now, I'm on here. I'm speaking with Ray Hanania, a comedian, a partner of mine, a participant in the Israeli-Palestinian comedy tour, which just lit up the stages in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv for the last couple
weeks. It was a blast.
It was a... Don't say that kind of thing when you're talking about the Middle East. But we are on November Radio talking with Ray Hanania. Now, Ray, the tour did not perform in any of the Palestinian areas. Now,
you mean in occupied Palestine? We were in Tel Aviv. That is occupied Palestine.
Would you come on?
No, all right, seriously. No, we didn't. And, you know, that was for a very specific reason. You know, I thought, in all honesty, I thought it was going to be difficult doing the shows in Israel just to have a Palestinian on stage.
And not everyone was so excited about having a Palestinian, not all Israelis.
That's what we expected. We thought that not only would they not be excited, but we might even get, you know, something worse than a heckler. You know, you can deal with a heckler in a comedy club, but in the Middle East, hecklers tend to be a little more persuasive about their arguments, you know, less restrictive on how far they go in terms of heckling. So I figured, okay, that might be pushing it for the first trip. But we're going to go back there, and we're hoping, I've reached out to two of the cities in the West Bank, Bethlehem and Ramallah, to find out if we could actually do shows there.
Now, did you encounter any negative reactions to appearing as a comedian, as a Palestinian comedian appearing in Israel with Israelis?
Not really. To be honest with you, no. I did get a few people, you know, Palestinians that were saying why, you know, not do it in the West Bank. But I got no negative response from the people, you know, in Israel or the West Bank. I did get some negative, you know, feedback indirectly from some of the, you know, people here in the States, the activists, the Palestinians, because this is a big thing. I mean, you know, crossing this
line.
You're a
traitor, Ray. You're a race traitor. You're an ethnic traitor.
Yeah, you know, I'm like, you know, an Uncle Tom of the Arab community, an Uncle Abdullah,
and you are
of the Arab community.
All right, listen, Ray, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to be back. You'll stay on the line with you, won't you?
Absolutely.
This is Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio Network, talking with comedian Ray Hanania. We'll be back, and we'll take some of your calls here on the Nova M Radio Network. And I'm Aaron Freeman, back with you, sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Nova M Radio Network. Delighted to be here with you. We are chatting with my good buddy and partner, Ray Hanania, about comedy in the Middle East and the Israeli-Palestinian comedy tour, whence Ray and I just came from. Whence came from is redundant. Anyway, see, the construction of that one I wasn't so good at. Anyway, Ray, you're back there with me.
Hey, man.
So now, Ray, as a Palestinian-American, it is will be news to some who might be listening. You are, in fact, such a moderate Palestinian, you are even married to a Jewess.
Yes. She thinks I'm Puerto Rican, though, but, you know, I think she's going to figure it out pretty soon. So. I eat a lot of hummus. But, yeah, she's Jewish. We've been actually married 10 years this July.
Really?
Dating for 14 years total, if you include marriage. And we have a little boy, Aaron, who we are raising Jewish.
Wow.
Now, and, of course, she married me just to get even with her father. But you know what? What do I care, right?
Now, you know, I want to digress for a brief second here. Married for 10 years. Now, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm always want to ask people who've been married for longer than I am, which is many people. So tell me, Ray, how do you stay married for 10 years successfully?
Well, I was in Florida doing a show Saturday, and at the airport I saw this little dancing devil doll stuffed animal that sings that disco song, Hot Stuff, and that's what I bought for her. So I gave it to her early, and, you know, we give each other a lot of space. That's the secret. We give each other space, yeah.
Well, that is the most, that the truth is, the most common answer that I get to that question, I ask people that all the time, how do you stay married for 40 years, 50 years? The most common answer I get is, don't spend too much time together.
Yeah, so this marriage, you know, I've been married several times. This
you're an Arab, right? You guys are allowed to have...
That's right. We're allowed to have four wives.
Okay.
So this is my third and actually the longest one out of the bunch. And I'm really hopeful that this is going to go till the end of the, you know, the whole show.
Yes, all right.
I'm excited, you know.
So we have a number here at 800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. If you'd like to chat with Ray Hanania, I'm sure that he about the Middle East or about comedy. We got a little more time with Uncle Ray. I'm sure he will, and he and I will be delighted to chat with you. As a matter of fact, let us do this right now. We got Will here in Michigan. Let me see here. We'll get old Will on the air. I know I can do it. There you are. Will, you there? No, you're not. There you are.
Hey,
You've been waiting? Thank you, Will.
I looked up, I went to Mike's website to see who was substituting today, and he's got a link to AaronFriedman.com on his site.
Will.
I'm not sure if he's got the right website, because the bio on AaronFriedman.com says... Aaron Friedman is a 14-year-old who's very passionate and knowledgeable about technology and journalism. You don't sound like a 14-year-old to me.
Well, he was. Maybe that's a reference to my maturity level.
When I was 14, I was still singing soprano.
Well, you know, it's been a rough 14 years, okay? I tell you, Will, I've been a lot of cigarettes, I guess, down. No, it's not true. So you're a regular Mike Malloy listener, I take
it?
Yeah. Well, great.
I wanted to... talk about the military I've been discussing things with my local fellow activists here locally in Lansing, Michigan, and
they call that Lansing. I was up there. I remember that used to be a tourism slogan for Lansing.
Yeah,
I got a lot of Arab relatives that live over there.
Cool.
Lots of Arab relatives in Michigan, right?
In the Dearborn area, yeah. Not just
Dearborn, all over. You know, the rest of us in Dearborn, we've been outed as Arabs.
Yeah.
But Lansing and a few other places, they still think we're Puerto Rican. So say marhaba. Surprise somebody, say marhaba. If they respond and they look Puerto Rican, they're really Arab.
Well, we've got a mosque right across the street from the campus of Michigan State University, so...
Well, that's good. And I got a church right down the street from my house too. It's really a pain in the neck on Sundays, you know. I can never drive down the street. They're always praying and making those funny signs with their hands. So.
Well, so you wanted to chat about the military?
Yeah,
up there in Michigan.
We've been discussing what the actual purpose of the military is, and it, you know, I've been in the military. I served in Operation Desert Storm as a hospital corpsman in the Navy.
Thank you for your service.
No need to thank me. It's just something I did as out of a sense of patriotism, and I was young and dumb and didn't really know what else to do. So basically.
Oh, listen, you know, we're gonna have to take a break here. We are coming up on a hard break. We're gonna you stand on the line there, Will. We can finish up this chat a little bit more, and
sure.
We'll keep Ray Hanania. We're here on Nova M Radio, and we're gonna be back in just a couple of minutes. I'm Aaron Freeman for Mike Malloy. Freeman here on Nova M Radio with a little bit of that old fogies music. War, what is it good for? Halliburton, pop it, say it again. Yeah! All right, we're on with Will out of Michigan and my good buddy Ray Hanania. Ray Hanania, who is also you are a veteran yourself, are you
absolutely
not?
Absolutely. During the Vietnam War in 1973, 1974, 1975, I trained at an F-111 base. We were a support unit. They were going to ship us off to Vietnam, and then, of course, you know, they were negotiating back and forth trying to get out of the war, so they never sent us. And then I served 9 years in the Illinois Air National Guard. My brother is a Marine.
Oh, wow.
And my dad and my uncle, George and Moses, served in World War II.
All right.
My dad was in the Fifth Army, and, of course, my uncle, being named Moses, was automatically assigned to the Navy. So they thought he was going to part the seas or something.
Well, now, Will, you said you wanted to talk about the purpose of the military was, right?
Yeah. You know, historically, standing armies have been used by empires to you know, conquer new lands, and that's exactly what we're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan right now.
Well, I would say, I would make a slight caveat, I would say that in our case, the standing armies are being used to attempt to conquer new land, but that whole conquest thing is not working out all that well at this precise juncture.
The problem with standing armies is, you know, in this modern technological age, is that everybody has access to technology.
It's
and,
true.
You know, they're using cell phones as detonators for these IEDs.
It's true.
Well, let me ask Will a question. I'm interested if you support the draft. Do you think that, you know, it just seems like it's been unfair that the burden's been on those people who enlisted, who were already serving, and, you know, we keep sending guys, you know, 3-4 tours of duty, you know, and it just seems unfair.
Well, I support the abolition of the military as it exists today. I mean, it's you know, it's.
But Will, who are we going to send to kill people if we get rid of the military as it is
well,
today?
You know,
let's
get
be realistic, will you please? Act like an adult, young man.
Would you
get rid of the military?
Realistically, I don't think the standing armies are. I think standing armies are obsolete in this day and age, and we wouldn't be fighting halfway around the world if we didn't have standing armies, if we relied on average citizens to defend our country, we would just be defending our borders and nothing else.
So you don't consider, for example, Hezbollah a standing army? You would consider them a militia that is there to defend the borders of their country?
I'm not really familiar with Hezbollah too much, but
But they are not an official army. They really are. They do function as a. They function largely, primarily as a militia there at the southern end of Lebanon to protect the, or at least to do what they consider protecting the borders. And I guess they did. They did protect the borders. They did prevent the Israeli Defense Forces from going in. So that is kind of the point. All right. Well, Will, thank you so much for calling, my brother, and hope. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right. Be well. All right. So now we our number is 1-800-989-1480. We're chatting here with my Ace Droogie. Remember that from the from A Clockwork Orange, Ray Hanania. Now Ray, that we are heading back to Israel coming up in May, right? What do you?
Yes.
And what's the plan? Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah. Actually, this trip, you know, in answer to the earlier question about, you know, we only did shows in Israel the first trip, although we did include East Jerusalem.
Right.
So we had four shows in Israel, one in East Jerusalem, which is, you know, considered Palestinian by Palestinians, Israeli by Israel. But we are planning, hopefully, we're going to try to get a show in Bethlehem. We're going to try to get a show in Ramallah and see how that goes. Now, the tough problem is, you know, the Israelis don't allow Israelis, unless you're in the military, of course, to go into the West Bank. So it will be a little tricky, but I think we can get around that. So I'm pretty confident that not only will we be able to get around it, but the Israeli comedians will also be able to feel as safe as I felt in Israel.
Okay, then you did feel very safe in Israel.
Sure, I was dressed up as a Hasidic Jew the whole time, but, you know, it was a little warm.
So our number is 800.
But it was fun.
Our number is 800-989-1480. We're chatting with comedian Ray Hanania of the Israeli-Palestinian Comedy Tour, and we're going to say hello to, in San Francisco to our brother Robert. Robert, you there?
Yeah.
All right, Robert, thanks for joining the Mike Malo Show with Aaron Freeman and Ray Hanania.
Hey, Robert, how you doing?
I am doing really good. On the 23rd of February, we're having a 9/11 Truth Alliance meeting in Chandler. And we want to ask questions that the 9/11 King Commission didn't answer regarding U.S. Air Force training exercises involving hijacked commercial airliners and planes crashing into buildings, and FEMA training exercises at the WTC involving bioterrorism warfare exercises. So because the King Commission didn't ask these questions, Kucinich, Representative Kucinich, is going to take all first responders' experiences that day and collect the evidence pertaining to proceeding with a 9/11 investigation that's thorough and competently taken care of.
Well, now, Robert, tell us, what questions do you think were not properly asked by the 9/11 Commission?
Well, the U.S. Air Force training exercises involving live flight hijackings of commercial airliners and planes crashing into buildings that Vice President Dick Cheney was supervising. And
hang on. You're just moving along really quickly, and I want to really understand what you say there. So there were exercises that were that theoretically would have borne or made our response to 9/11 more efficient. Is that right?
It's rather suspicious that on the same day the story the Bush administration neocons put forward, their new Pearl Harbor, on the same day the Air Force is running training exercises that actually mirror what happened on that day.
Huh.
And because of that, and because of their guilty demeanor, not wanting any investigation, and Cheney's immediate... Remember Cheney went into a secret, non-disclosed location immediately after 9/11?
I remember
that.
Well,
that was the headquarters for Halliburton, I think. He was just going over all the files.
Well, the thing is, loyal Americans in the military were actively searching for Cheney on that day. And there's a reason for it. And we're going to get to the bottom of this. And the
well,
PNAC
you're not,
people...
And you're not saying, though, that you're not getting into this all conspiracy stuff that the United States blew up the buildings. You're talking the fact that they knew that this was going to happen, that this type of thing was a potential threat, correct?
They had to have it happen. In fact, the PNAC, Project for New American Century, one of their big guys, Zbigniew Brzezinski, even came out and said a catastrophe on the order of Pearl Harbor needs to occur within the United States in order to galvanize the American people into an imperial mobilization, democracy being inimical to imperialism. So we say what Roosevelt said. We say nothing political happens by accident.
So are you implying that you really believe that 9/11 was intentional and was the government was complicit?
Well, the Keene Commission never investigated as a factor the controlled demolition of the World Trade Towers or the U.S. Air Force training exercises on 9/11. They were factors never considered by the Keene Commission.
Fair enough. Now, so give us, is there a website where we can learn more about this?
On the 23rd of February, okay, there is an event in Chandler, Arizona.
Okay.
And you can check it out. You can check it out on the internet. Community Currency is one of the places that will have that, or sf911truth.org, or there is an Arizona, I think it's Arizona, there's an Arizona website that is the folks down there are actually putting it on. We're going to have people from all over the country. And what's really significant now, we spoke directly with Kucinich when he was in San Francisco. That's where I'm calling from. And he said that all the first responders that were turned away by their superiors and told to be quiet about 9/11 now have an open venue in Kucinich. Go to Kucinich.us. All the first responders that watched and listened to the countdown before WTC7 was blown up can now come forward and tell their stories. Anybody that was there that day and has a story to tell, go to Kucinich.us and unload it, because we're just about to take this thing viral.
Well, all right. That's That's going to be...
And listen, by the way, you're in California, correct? Go pick up a copy of the Contra Costa Times, the Monterey County Herald, or the San Luis Obispo Tribune, and there's a story about Aaron Freeman and I in the paper today. Out of all over California. Learn more about us.
Jeff Rakes is going to be the MC at the 9/11 event in Chandler, so we're looking for a really great turnout and a great experience. So pay attention to it, because it's starting to gain steam, this whole 9/11 Truth Alliance issue.
All right, so it's 911truth.org. Is that right, Robert?
That's right.
All right, thank you very much, my friend.
I'm still trying to get to the bottom of 7-Eleven. That's my big issue. You know, I still am convinced Cheney was behind that, too.
I think so. We're here with comedian Ray Hennedy, my good buddy. We're gonna take a little break. We're going to take a little break, and Ray Hennedy. We'll be back with Ray Hennedy for a final segment. I'm Aaron Freeman on Nova M Radio for Mike Malloy right here, and happy to be with Y-O-U. And we're beautiful on Nova M Radio here with Ray Hanania, a writer, comedian, proprietor of Hanania.com, and my partner in the Israeli-Palestinian comedy tour. And we got a chat with San Diego and our brother Tim. Tim, you there in San Diego?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you very much. Great show.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Fine, yourself?
Let me teach you some Arabic if you want to scare the neighbors.
Yeah.
Hakalaka.
Hakalaka.
Look at your neighbor and just say hakalaka. Believe me, if you want the attention of the FBI, that'll do it.
Hakalaka.
Hakalaka. Don't say too loud.
That irrigates me. Something fierce. I got a question. Hey, I got a quickie question for you guys.
All right.
How in the heck do you handle tough situations? I mean, like, we got the 40th anniversary of the USS Liberty coming up here. Can you guys work William Crystal into that? And
I'm going to say I don't know about the 40th anniversary of the USS Liberty.
No, I know all about it. It was a group of American sailors who were on a communication ship during the Six-Day War in 1967. Yeah. And, there's a big political battle about this. The Israelis attacked the ship, They later claimed that they didn't realize it was an American ship, but all the sailors on the ship, the captain all the way down, insisted that the Israelis knew who they were, and they were trying to disable their communications equipment so that they, U.S. could monitor what the Israelis were doing in terms of fighting with Jordan. So I think there were 39 American soldiers died in that attack.
That sounds right, and the only attack on Americans, there was never a congressional investigation. But moving right along, question number two for Stump the Chump.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Tim.
Mordecai Vanunu.
Mordecai Vanunu, yes.
Yeah, took the heat, for one thing, and then didn't his dad disown him for becoming a Christian?
Well, he was an Israeli. He was Jewish, and he worked at the Dimona nuclear plant in the Negev Desert.
And he blew
the whistle on Israel's, nuclear weapons, and
which we still do not officially acknowledge existed. May or may not be a nuclear program.
But
it's
minor details. Minor details,
but it may or may not be. Yes.
Okay,
but isn't that the difference between the Iranians and the Israelis?
Yeah.
The Iranians go and brag about it, and then they get their heads beat in. The Israelis are smart. They just deny it, right?
It's strategic ambiguity, I believe, is the term. Strategic ambiguity.
The mad grab for Abraham's house in Ur myself. But then the third one.
Okay.
Since we're on touchy subject, Rachel Corrie.
Right. Both her parents.
Rachel Corrie, for those who weren't following, Rachel Corrie was a young American activist who was protesting the destruction of the homes of Palestinians.
Right.
She was run over and killed by a caterpillar bulldozer manufactured in beautiful Peoria, Illinois.
Right.
Stockholding Fort
Stanford. Yes, well, you know what Rachel Corrie said to her mom before she left? I'm going to the Middle East. I'll be back 6 hours flat. Thank you very much.
Wow, that's
great joke.
That's rough.
That was a terrible joke. But you add
I didn't say it was terrible. I said that was a tough one.
It is a tough one.
You guys are great for adding humor. Because,
we try.
Otherwise, we die out of frustration.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, my brother. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to see if we can get another one in here. Let's say hello to Herb. Herb is in, there he is. Herb, you're in Yonkers?
Yeah, hi.
Yo, brother.
Okay.
Hey, how are you?
You're on with Ray Hanania on the Mike Malloy Show and Aaron Freeman. That's me.
Yeah, hi. I just want you and the audience to look up Truth Out today. The fourth item down says Iran tempted to suspend nuclear activity. Now, the second part is U.S. could provoke war. That is a thing that Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote. It's right on there verbatim. He said that on February 1st. This needs a lot of public publicity all over. Take a look at it and then see what you think and see if you want to. I think the audience ought to check it out. It's today's truthout.org, okay?
All right, we'll check it out. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
Everybody. Bye.
All right, and let's get one more in here. Let's say hello. This is a 9/11 call from Alan in Miami. Alan, you're on with Ray Hanania, Aaron Freeman on the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio.
Thanks very much. I'm not all that familiar with you, Aaron, but if you're on Mike Malloy's show, that's good enough for me.
How bad can I be, right?
Right.
That's right.
Listen, I wanted to say something about the 9/11 thing, but if it's okay to just jump in and say something additional about this Iran thing that's coming up, all this talk about that Iran may be supplying some weapons that are being used there. Who's the greatest weapons dealer in the world? You know, you have to throw that out there, too. And,
well, of course, it's not even, they're not even actually claiming that the Iranian government is doing it. They're saying it's somebody somewhere in Iran, somehow.
Right. And it's not like, I bet you could probably, with a fine-tooth comb, look around Iraq and find a few weapons made in the U.S.
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a very famous attack that was a few weeks ago in Najaf where they used a convoy of Ford SUVs. These SUVs came from the United States, okay? So somebody in the United States is supporting the anti-American insurgency.
Could we be instigating something?
Could we be complicit in the attacks against Americans? I think so. As a matter of fact, it may be you, Alan.
Oh, it may be.
Can you prove? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
We got 30 seconds.
Jump in. 30 seconds. Goodness. On 9/11, I saw the South Florida debut of a film called called 9/11 Press for Truth, which you can find 9/11PressForTruth.org. Just the other day in town, and some of the producers and participants were here, and it was one more, just one more thing. The very least you could say about 9/11 is that nobody did anything about it. I think it may be much more than that, but nobody was fired. If you worked at the 9/11 as a night watch, place had been messed up, you'd be out on your butt the next day. There's way too much that doesn't make any sense about that.
Well, Alan, hang on for a second. We'll hold you over. And if Ray, if you'll stick with us just for one more segment, okay?
Absolutely. Love to.
Hang on. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for a couple of days for Mike Malloy, on with my buddy Ray Hanania. We're on Nova M Radio and really proud to be here with you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll chat a little bit more with Alan and with Ray Hanania. But until then, relax. Listen to the commercials. Good stuff. Support the sponsors. Really, support the sponsors.
Away from dry land and its bitter memories, casting out my sweet life with a band of London love. Love feeling bearing down on me, save the starry sky above with light. The eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
And in fact, I'm one of them people that do not believe we are on the eve of destruction. I am very, very, very optimistic about these next few years. I'm very optimistic, in fact, about these next few months. But in that, then I am a fool by definition, by profession, by avocation, by choice, by personal inclination. My name is Aaron Freeman, sitting in for a few days for the legendary Mike Malloy, and being joined for a couple, a little bit of this segment, these segments, by my extremely optimistic partner, Ray Hanania.
Yeah.
Well, no, because comedy is inherently is an inherently optimistic endeavor. Comedy is a way of looking at life that makes happy endings seem inevitable. Ain't that right, Ray Hanania?
I think it is, and I think it also helps, people and... that are frustrated, that are, angry. It helps them to kind of deal with some of the issues that they normally can't deal with. Sometimes the best way to deal with a challenge is to really laugh at it.
There you go.
Put it in real perspective.
And if you go to Hanania.com, anybody who goes to Hanania.com will see that Ray Hanania is filled with all kinds of optimism and all kinds of optimistic insights. Just take a look over to Hanania.com. Or if you'd like to learn more about the Israeli-Palestinian Comedy Tour, it would be IPComedyTour.com. We're also on with Alan down there in Miami, who's giving us some... educating us a little bit about what's happening with 9/11 Truth. Alan, you're still there with us, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Now, but I did cut you off there, and I want to give you a chance to finish up with
what you
were saying.
Well, it was very kind of you. I went into compressed mode when you said I had 30 seconds.
I know. That was just a test to see if you could survive it, my brother.
Well, I've finally gotten that down, sort of.
That was very good. That was very good. Very impressive.
See, everybody's a comedian. You know that?
No, Alan is an information pro. You see, when you tell Alan he's 30, he brings it down to a tight 30, gets it all in before the break.
Yeah, get it what you can,
Hey, look, you should be in the union.
Well, let's see. There's just so many issues, and but we were talking about 9/11, and I happened to see this meet some of these people who are participating in the debut, South Florida debut of a film, which is available to find out about online, 9/11PressForTruth.org. And there's an earlier one which I saw, which you may have heard about, is Loose Change, which is loosechange911.com. Anyhow, the one thing you can say is that, and this is why I can I have real problems with the 2004 Kerry campaign. The one thing you could have said is that at the very least we didn't show very good managerial skills for the the largest security hole in the entire history of the United States. No heads were rolled. Nobody was fired. And on that, you could have won a presidential campaign on that alone, just saying, would you trust, you know, all you needed was a split-screen TV ad. One side shows the plane going into the World Trade Center, and the other side shows George Bush sitting in that classroom in Florida and said, do you want to trust your security to this person who doesn't seem to understand what security is?
But Alan, you know, the political, there's a really serious political reality, which is that a lot of people really just responded badly, really badly, to commercials, to ads that mocked, ridiculed, or too strongly attacked the president of the United States, even though he deserved it.
But I really think, you know, I happen to have attended the 2004 Democratic Party platform committee meeting. Was here next door in Hollywood, Florida, and they decided, for whatever reasons, to come out and make their expression a stronger America. And I contend that if they had said a more secure America, it would have been an easy sell, because you could show how all of these things make us less secure. In fact, lack of housing, lack of decent education, lack of decent wages makes us a less secure nation. But they could have gone long on that. Instead, they chose a stronger America. Imagine, we have the largest military budget and arsenal in the entire world, and they're campaigning on a stronger America? In other words, as though our major problem is that we're not strong enough? Isn't that insane?
Well, but again, I'm sure you recall that in a lot of the polling, when you asked people what they liked and responded to positively about George Bush, they said strength, strong. And that was the buzz. And, you know, then that is the way marketers, and I'm not defending it, but as you know, that is the way marketers tend to do things. And they see the
precisely my point, that it's just done by marketers and rather than people who have any interest in the future of the United States.
Oh, yeah, well, of course.
The Democratic Party has an obligation. I happen to have to be more involved in the Green Party, and I happen to, for a lot of reasons. I just can't be a Democrat anymore. But the fact of the matter is that their obligation, everybody says that, well, Green Party is a crazy idea and so forth and so on.
And people say the Green Party got but people also say the Green Party got George Bush elected.
Yeah, but you know, I could spend an hour discussing why that's incorrect.
All right. Fair enough.
The fact of the matter is that all the signs of what was going to happen during Bush's regime were in the work. I mean, Clinton was actually invited to come on it. They invited him to sign on some of the things of the Project for the New American Century, and he refused to do it. And they planned long before Ralph Nader or anybody else was involved in the 2000 election. They planned to take that election. I mean, there's lots of evidence. One of the co-signers of the Project New American Century was Jeb Bush, who delivered the votes by preventing people from voting on Election Day, claiming falsely that like 50,000 people were felons when they were not. That took months and months of planning. Many people are in denial of the fact that over 250,000 registered Democrats voted for George Bush. They lost that election in some ways, but in the fact of the matter is they won it. They had enough. They had more votes. Had the votes properly been counted, as even James Baker said, they would have won, and they didn't stand up for it. The fix was planned for a long time, and right. I mean for decades. Let's face it.
All right. Well, I this is something I didn't know. The fix had been planned for decades, but you know,
the evidence is there.
I understand. Well, as Lily Tomlin said, my greatest fear is that no matter how cynical I become, it's not enough. But Alan, thank you very much for calling, my brother.
You're very welcome.
All right, bye-bye. This is Eric Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on NovaAm Radio, talking to my good buddy Ray Hanania. Ray, we're just having such a good time. I hope you'll just hang out and chat a little
more. I'm having fun. I enjoy it. It's kind of like sitting in a cafe.
That's right.
Smoking a shisha pipe. You know, in the Middle East.
The shisha pipe, there's tobacco in those, okay? It's tobacco
well,
in the shisha pipes.
It's a fruit. Tobacco. It's like an apple or a pear. It's a dried fruit skin, I guess.
I just wouldn't want the Mike Malloy listeners to think anything untoward. I don't want the Ray Hanania fans to think that you're doing anything untoward. We're going to talk right now to Joel out there and talk about the heart of the Left Coast in Berkeley, California. Joel.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how you doing? Hi, Ray. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, great. Thanks. Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm, you know, you were asking earlier about those mysterious people in America who must be
supplying
SUVs. American
SUVs. Exactly right, right.
Well, it's got to be Barack Obama. I mean, just ask the Australian Prime Minister.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. It's Barack Hussein Obama, as
or was that Osama?
Uh-huh. I know, I understand. I understand. Matter of fact, I'm sure Ray Hananiah's probably got some kind of connection to him. Him and Obama have been sending SUVs to Iraq. I see somewhere the beginnings of a theory.
Uh-huh.
I think so. Well, Joel, we appreciate it. I'm glad to know that there are right-thinking Americans like you who are on top of this kind of stuff.
I think Pelosi's involved, too, but they're still out on that. It would be the...
Nancy Fatima Pelosi.
That's right, Fatima, yeah, that's
the,
right. And you notice...
It's not very well-known Italian-Arab connection.
That's right.
That's
hey,
right.
Italian-Arab, you notice we look very similar.
Hey, huh? Pelosi, Obama, you do the math, my brother.
There you go.
All right.
Good night.
Thanks, Joel. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're on the air, Freeman. Ray Hanania sitting in for Mike Malloy. Let's talk to Rich in Scott's Plain, NJ. Rich, you're on with Aaron and
Ray. Hey, Howard, how you doing?
It's the best day of my life, my brother. How about you?
All right. I just want to pick up on the caller just had on who was who got a little bit of a disagreement about in terms of what happened in 2004, his idea that they should have a split screen with Bush on one side and
yes.
the towers. Yeah, I mean, the reason why Kerry got beat and we got our asses handed to us in the 2004 election, because we didn't go strong up against these guys. Okay, now if you Anthony Weiner, I don't know if you caught Anthony Weiner on the floor of the House the other day, but he let the Republic Party have it. I mean, it's time to go head up with these guys.
Now, Kevin, I think there are many people who would agree with you. Hang on, we're going to hold you over
sure.
to the next segment. We're going to take a quick break here, a commercial break. We're chatting with Ray Hanania and Rich. This is Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Nova M Radio Network. Glad to be here with you, and we're going to be back on the other side of these here messages. Six. Is it me? Does that sound like Tom Jones on meth? This sounds like Tom Jones. I does Electric Six. Okay, well, and not that there's anything wrong with Tom Jones on meth. If that's how he wants to spend his time, I'm a more libertarian kind of guy. If Tom Jones wants to take meth, who am I to complain? All right, my name's Aaron Freeman. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network, on the Nova M Radio Network, talking with my good buddy Ray Hanania and Rich out in Scotts Plain, New Jersey. Now, Rich, you were saying that you thought that we lost in 2000 and 2004. I should say you were really referring to John Kerry, because we did not go strong. Is that what you're saying?
Well, 2000 was one thing. I mean, I've argued a lot of people about this. What Gore did, he was in a position where he had to, like, not throw his hat in there for the recount at some point. And, you know, even though the Black Caucus was trying to get one senator to stand up to try to, you know, throw the election back in the House of Representatives, he couldn't do it as a senator because it would look like, you know, he was in an untenable position. But Kerry in 2004 just rolled over, okay? Now, we got a new attitude with the Democratic Congress now in 2006. We got guys like Anthony Weiner on the counterpunching effectively on the floor of the House saying the Republic Party is the party that brought us 9/11, brought us the hugest deficit we've ever had, was a bunch of sheep not doing any oversight or investigations. Now we got John Conyers, Henry Waxman. We got people doing some effective effective investigating.
Now, Rich, let me ask something, though.
Yeah.
I was listening to our hero, Barack Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, part of his rap is that we to learn to disagree without being disagreeable. And it seems to me that that's one of the big problems, one of the big challenges in opposing Bush and the Republicans, because the people who have policies with whom we strongly disagree remain good and decent human beings.
I don't agree with that. I do not think that the average rank-and-file political Republican, from the president on down, are good and decent human beings. I think a lot of them are murderers. I think a lot of them are sociopaths. Okay, I don't really think they really care. I don't think George.
But let me.
Bush
okay, well, hang on, Rich. Hang on, Rich. All right, wait. Let me just ask you. Okay.
Right. Okay.
If it's you,
yeah.
If you were in the White House, would you not do your best to make the world a better place?
But I don't think George Bush cares about making the world a better place. I don't think Dick Cheney cares about making the world a better place. I don't think John Bonner cares about making the world a better place.
Let me pause it.
I think they only care about power. They only care about keeping their position. And the reason I say that is if you look what's going on with this insane buildup of military power in the Persian Gulf right now against Iran, they've got the idea of American hegemony. That's all they care about. And a lot of Democrats are frightened for a long time, been frightened going along for the ride.
That's true.
And it's time for us to stand. And Barack Obama is not taking it. He's been effectively, rapidly responding to all the attacks on him. He may say
gave a slap back to John Howard.
Absolutely. He's not going to take it like Kerry did. I mean, Kerry got swift voted, and there was no rapid response. And it just feeds into, as long as the Republicans think of themselves, we allow them to think of themselves as the disciplinarian daddy party, and the Democrats as being the mommy conciliatory party, we're going to keep getting our asses handed to us.
All right.
Time for us to stand up and show that we're patriots and Americans too, and that we care more about this country than the war profiteers that the Republicans support do.
Well, I think obviously there are a lot of people out there who agree with you, and with any luck, we're going to have a campaign where we will see a lot of folks standing up and standing strong and coming back hard. Thank you very much, Rich.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Ray?
Amen.
You know,
I'm just here for the jokes, okay? I'm taking notes. I'm getting material.
Well, not everybody thinks. Well, I guess we just have to make harder jokes, tougher jokes, stronger jokes.
You think so? What do they have to survive? That's what I'm worried about.
Well,
tougher jokes.
That's exactly. Well, that's what you need. You got to survive. All right, hang on here. Let me take another one here. So, Kevin has been holding on for quite a while here. Kevin, thank you, and welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with Aaron Freeman and good old Ray Hanania.
Thank you.
Hey, man.
Hey, great show.
Thank you very much,
brother. You know, I got to say, these people who voted for Nader, who are like, you know, it's real funny. They have the blood of 3,000 Americans on their hands.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
And they have nothing but excuses. And they say, I can tell you
all
now.
All right, wait. Kevin, you can tell me a fact, but just wait a second. Wait till after the break, okay? We're going to take a break, and Kevin is going to tell us a fact. This is Nova AM Radio. Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania. We're going to be back in just a minute, and Kevin's going to explain to us how they got the blood of 3,000 people on their hands. Okay, keep on listening.
Lips that taste of holy water, by her grace that I've been saved. Scarlet.
Forgive them, Father.
25 minutes before 10 o'clock. Is that right? No, it's only minutes before 8 o'clock. No, before 9 o'clock. You see there? I'm trying to play analog games with a digital clock, and it just didn't work. I was sitting there. See, that's the thing. You're so unused to anticipating time, because in a digital world, you can tell it's 34 past the hour, but when you're looking forward, the future doesn't exist. It's kind of what Vladimir Nabokov said. The future is a lie. There is only a constantly expanding past erupting from the burning present. Anyway, I'm Aaron Freeman here. sitting in for Mike Malloy. I'm very honored and grateful to be sitting in for Mike Malloy. Sitting in with my good buddy Ray Hanania. Ray Hanania. So now, were you angry at the Green Party guys, Ray?
Well, I mean, listen. I think that, you know, it's one of the problems with democracy, the way our system's set up, so that a third candidate always gets blamed from taking votes away from the second runner-up. And especially in this last election where the vote was so close, I mean, mathematically you can make the argument. That doesn't mean that you got to blame Ralph Nader. A lot of other people for not running, candidates against Bush who were... You know, might have taken votes away from him.
But I give Ross Perot credit for getting Bill Clinton elected. God bless Ross Perot.
I like Clinton a lot because he added a little spice to the White House.
I think we
needed a little, you know, living up there since Kennedy. It was those bedrooms were getting kind of cold, you know.
Now, Kevin, I said I would let you get a couple shots in here about the Green Party.
Am I back here?
You are back, Kevin.
All right. Well, how's this? You know, there's salient facts and there's other facts. There's lots of facts.
Let me say something now. You said about the blood of 3,000 people.
Let me get it quick.
Okay.
It's a fact that had Kerry married a woman that didn't sound like Zsa Zsa Gabor, that might have helped him. That's a fact. Okay? However, there's a salient fact. And there's an important fact. Had everybody who voted for Nader in Florida voted instead for the Democrat, we would probably not be in Iraq right now.
Now, of course, had Al Gore won his own state, his home state.
Oh no! Wait a minute. That's another fact. Yes, that's an interesting fact. But here's a really important fact.
Okay.
That all those people who thought they were, as your co-host here in this case, said, "Oh, he made it interesting. Great! Now 3,000 people are dead. Isn't it fascinating? Isn't it interesting? Oh God, it's so interesting!"
All right, all right. Thank you very much, Kevin. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
I can't blame the war on Ralph Nader. I'm not going to blame him for the deaths in Iraq.
No, I don't blame Ralph Nader
because that's unfair to President Bush. I think he deserves all the credit for that. I'm not going to put it on Nader's back.
Personally, I blame Barack Obama. I think it's all his fault. Hussein Obama. It's all Barack. Everything. It all comes down to Barack Hussein Obama. All right,
Bin Laden. Bush. I mean, those guys were close with Bin Laden's, weren't they?
Let's talk with Scott. He's got something to say about accusations at the Green Party. So, Scott, you there?
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, I want to respond to that,
please,
the Kevin caller about the Ralph Nader and all of that. And, you know, that's that stuff that Randy Rhodes was spewing last week. And, you know, and I like Randy Rhodes, but that viewpoint is so far off. First of all, that makes the arrogant statement that because if we had not voted for Ralph Nader, we would have voted for Gore. First of all, what makes him assume that we would have done that? I agree with what Bill Maher had to say, that if Ralph Nader had not been in the election, those are 90,000 people who would just not have voted, period. And I can speak for myself on that because I teetered back and forth about whether I was going to vote or not. And I chose to vote for Ralph Nader because I did some research. I went to his website. I watched his interviews. And I liked some of the policies that he had for job creation and that thing about renegotiating the NAFTA and all of that kind of stuff. We didn't just go into that lightly. So instead of sitting here worrying about the 90,000 votes that Gore didn't get from the Nader supporters, why weren't they worried about Gore running a better campaign or going after those people who were not registered to vote and getting them voting in the first place? Let's face it, Gore ran a lousy campaign. I'm not saying that he...
Although he did, in fact, win the election.
Well,
yes,
he did win the election, and I don't dispute that. And or why not focus on the fact of what this topic was about, the fraud that went down there in Florida, about the disenfranchised voters and all of that kind of stuff. Cynthia McKinney had recently done a movie on TV One called American Blackout, where that company that they hired to take all of the black voters off of there and that kind of stuff. Why not focus on stuff like that? Don't just assume that because Ralph Nader was in there that those are votes that Gore lost. Those are votes that more than likely he never probably would have gotten in the first place.
Well, but
you know, there, in all fairness to the caller, that is a feeling that is out there that, you know, I think it's better to bring it out and address it the way we're talking about it now than let it linger, because I think it's more damaging when you say that. The truth is, you could look at all the statistics in Florida and blame, the way the last caller did, all the deaths in Iraq on those registered voters who didn't even vote in Florida. I mean, you could almost make any argument you want if you wanted to do that. I just think it's pointless because the system allows this to happen.
Well,
the way the system is set up.
I mean, I understand that, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, Gore was busy talking about he wasn't Clinton. I don't mean the fact because he didn't get something on the side, although that's what he was talking about. And there were things that Gore ran on that I liked. I liked the fact that he was talking about putting Social Security into a lockbox and that kind of thing and stuff. But, you know, the fact of the matter is a lot of people... You know, I believe Bill Maher, again, and I'm bringing him up as an example, made an analogy about them being, he would combine their names together and either call them Gush or Bohr, because at that point, most people didn't know the difference between the two. Now, I did to a certain extent, but a lot of people did not. Now we realize that there was a big difference, but, you know, that's the whole thing.
But, Scott, so you really totally deny that Ralph Nader's campaign had any particular effect overall on the Gore-Bush race?
No, I don't believe that it had any effect over it at all whatsoever.
And so
I really don't. And the fact of the matter is, if you want to talk about democracy, then, yeah, you should have more than one, this two-party, you know, oligopoly or whatever you want to call it. Not oligopoly, because that's only one, but you need to have more than that.
Well,
so
some people would argue that we really do need a second party.
Or you mean a third party?
No, I mean a second one. That really, with the Dems and the Republicans, you pretty much got the same thing. But I no longer, for the time being, my cynicism is on hold. But thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's take one more Nader comment. We'll talk to Ed. Ed is online. He is Ed. Ed, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with Aaron Freeman, Ray Hanania.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Ed.
Hey, Ed. All right. Now, the one thing I wanted to bring up, since that last caller brought up that, you know, want to blame it all on Ralph Nader, I'm one of these people, I voted for Ralph Nader, and I remember stressing a little bit about voting for a third party and thinking I was taking the vote from somebody, you know, but there was a reason why I voted for Ralph Nader, which I never hear out here on the radio or TV, but I've talked to other people who said the same thing. You know, Al Gore's biggest mistake was who he nominated as his vice presidential candidate. You know, I've always looked at Joe Lieberman as the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Senate, and his nominating Joe Lieberman, to me, I thought at the time that we'd end up fighting some Israeli war. And, well, it's turned out that Bush has done that. But I never hear anyone bring up that Gore made the mistake just nominating their own vice presidential candidate.
Well, I
got to
tell you know, I was, you know, as a, obviously or not unsurprisingly, as a Jew, I was very, very happy to see Jill Lieberman as the vice presidential candidate. And I was so happy about it. And
I was the opposite. I was the exact opposite. I couldn't believe he did that.
See, I guess I said my interest was very parochial. As a Jew, I was so happy I even forgave Lieberman's actual politics, which are pretty reprehensible and right wing and regressive. But I was just so happy that he was the first Jewish president candidate I had a chance to vote for the White House, so I was very thrilled about it. But I actually had not heard anyone ever, you're the first person I must say, who I've heard say that Lieberman was not a good choice of vice president for Gore. But maybe it was, maybe he wasn't. I can accept that. Well, thank you very much for the comments.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead. Ed?
No, he hung up.
Okay, we lost that. All right, my name is Aaron Freeman. I am here with Ray Hennedy, my good buddy, for just delighted you hung around, pal. I really appreciate
it
very much.
Hey, this is fun. I love this.
Sitting in
because it gives you a real sense of what people are thinking out there when you're on radio. You can hear what, you know, we think we know what's important, but, you know, hearing them tell us some of this stuff just gives me great material for the next show.
It's true. All right, we're not going to take any more. We're just going to take a little break here in a second. This is the Mike Malloy Show. It is a beautiful Monday evening. I'm Aaron Freeman. I'm here for three more days after this one is over. Maybe Ray Hennedy will join me a little bit more. It's the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Our number is 800-989-1480. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to come back for a little more talking about Nader and Gore, and then we're going to talk about an ethical way to end the Iraq War. Hope you will join us at that point. Aaron Freeman here. See you in a bit.
Well, the night that I got into town was the night that the rain it froze on the ground. Down the street I heard such a sorrowful tune coming from the place they call a politicians on the tick. I look at me, I am the same, but I don't notice. And I have learned that everybody has a price tag on his head. So it's money that will make the monkey dance. Yes, it's money that will make the monkey dance. And
it's Aaron Freeman. I'm back here sitting in for Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. You know, you can become a founding member of Nova M Radio. You can be in on the ground floor not only of a grand, grand philosophical and political revolution, but a pretty darn good investment, too. You can become a founding member of Nova M Radio. All you got to do is give a call. I think you call, if you call of our normal number, if you'd like to be a founding member. No, it's not the normal number. I'm lying to you, but I will get you. Go to NovaMRadio.com. Go to NovaMRadio.com and find out how you can become a founding member. You can become an angel. You will engender the everlasting gratitude of all of us here at Nova M Radio. And you can get podcasts. You can get our archives of the shows. All kinds of great stuff. Head to NovaMRadio.com. Become a founding member. Become a part of the revolution here on NovaMRadio.com. Aaron Freeman here with my buddy Ray Hennedy. Ray Hennedy, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
So, you know, it is amazing the intensity of the anti-Nader sentiment low these years after the whole thing has been over.
See, I think that it's kind of, when you really think of it, it's illogical. Because it's partly, I think it comes from a sense of wanting to blame Bush for what he did. Wanting to blame Bush.
Okay.
But because we can't defeat him, or he can't be defeated, the people that want to defeat him, they can't defeat him, so they look for someone else to blame, and that's Nader. I mean, really, if you're angry with what's happening in Iraq, you don't blame Ralph Nader. You blame the president, but you can't get satisfaction blaming the president.
It is kind of fun. It's fun beating up on Nader, though. He is kind of frumpy looking, you know. He's more fun to beat up on.
Ralph Hussein Nader.
Ralph Hussein.
Hey, listen, I just want you to know, you know, I've been a journalist 31 years, and I have to apologize. I've been on the show now an hour and a half, and I only finally did go to Mike Malloy's webpage, and sure enough, they got you listed as Aaron Friedman.
Well, I know. They're working on it.
And he's a cute little kid.
They're working on
it. Cute little kid with the rain hat.
They're working on it.
Probably getting all kinds of hits right now.
Yeah,
going, boy. Aaron, you sound like a black dude. You don't look so white.
An
you know?
Old black dude, too.
All right, let's
talk to Jeremy, though. Jeremy, right. Welcome you to the Mike Malloy Show. You're on with Aaron Freeman, Ray Hennedy.
Hey. I just think it's ridiculous to blame Ralph Nader. And for one thing, what makes people think that we would not have been at this war anyway if Gore was president? He voted for it, and so did most Democrats in Congress. I mean, I blame Congress.
Gore didn't vote for the Iraq War.
I'm sorry. Well, all of the Democrats did. What candidate didn't vote? What so-called viable candidate besides Obama didn't vote for the war.
Yeah, the ones who were not in office didn't vote for it.
Right. Obama, Obama might have voted for it. I mean, you know, it was hard for anybody to stand up. You got to remember, 3-4 years ago, how many people were really standing up saying, you know, it wasn't a loud chorus of people saying, let's not fight the war. So there were a lot of Democrats under pressure, and all the lies, you know, from the administration that we had to do it.
And I was, let me say, if I can interrupt for 1 second, Jeremy, that Peter Jennings said it very well. He said that after 9/11, there was martial music in the air, and many people were afraid not to march at peril of being called unpatriotic.
That's scary, man. That's so fascist. It's funny.
Oh, sure.
Well, not funny. you know, how conservative are these people? Look at Gore or Clinton or Mrs. Clinton. I mean, these people gave us NAFTA. They gave us...
That's true.
Look at the 80s thing with Tipper Gore and TMRC, and rock music was going to cause the fall of Western civilization. These people are not liberal. They're the new Republicans, basically.
Well, it's true. I mean, I will say that people like Gore have had the decency to repent, and we do have to believe in repentance. We do have to believe that people who have made mistakes can redeem themselves, can repent, don't we? No, maybe we don't.
I think we really got to hold a blowtorch to Congress. I blame the Congress more than the president, because I expect George Bush to be a little snake. I expect Congress to keep him in check.
Listen, let me ask you a question. Honestly, when do we blame ourselves? Because I'll tell you
I blame
the voters. I blame the voters for just sucking up to this guy. You know, we had a chance to do something. They didn't do it.
Although, wait, let me let the voters off the hook for a little bit. Well, no, seriously, because I too was
those
one of
who voted.
Those who voted, but I want to even let the U.S. media off the hook a little bit, because it was very, very hard to not be influenced by the constant repetition of the lies in the lead up to the Iraq War. You would have, like, the true story would be out there at once, and then there would be 9,000 lies. And the same lies would get repeated 9,000 times over and over again, and it's really hard to resist that drumbeat.
Yeah, I mean, look at a good example is Colin Powell.
Yes.
Here's a guy who really should have been the candidate for president of the United States this election. And had he not, you know, just swallowed all that BS from the president...
He fell in his sword. I mean, Colin Powell fell in his sword.
He just totally, you know... There's a good example.
But Colin Powell actually is a really good example also, because he actually didn't... His presentation to the UN wasn't actually a bunch of lies. His was just a bunch of BS.
Right. He believed he had accurate information. But he believed that what was given to him was true.
Even though was given to him didn't actually... go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Well, doesn't Congress have a responsibility to not take things at face value and actually demand a little bit of evidence?
Don't say stuff like that. What are you,
a revolutionary or
you
something?
Are empowering the terrorist, obviously. You are emboldening the terrorist.
Yes, obviously I hate my country because I expect better from it.
Absolutely.
God forbid that you would ask a serious question, you know, that's so unpatriotic to do that, you know, and raise some serious issues.
Ray, listen, thank you so much, Jeremy. Appreciate you calling, Jeremy.
Sure.
So, Ray, as long as you're here, man, just hang out with me for one more hour. Just stay for the whole time.
We're
going to be okay.
Fun.
This is Nova M Radio. Sitting in for Mike Malloy is me, Aaron Freeman, and I guess my buddy is joining me, Ray Hanania. We're here on Nova M Radio. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back on the other side of the hour, and we're going to talk a little bit, just a little bit more about Nader. And it's not his fault. It really wasn't his fault. But let's blame him anyway. What the heck? It's fun to beat up on him on Nova M Radio with Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy.
To save her.
Okay, our engineer Ian, with just a little too much time hanging around the music library, bringing us a little Chocolate Pope. Yes, Chocolate Pope. There's a concept. Two words that I have never put together. Two words that have never even occurred to me. It might exist in the same sentence, but nonetheless, Chocolate Pope is here. I'm here, Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy. My good buddy Ray Hadania joined us on the phone from Orland Park, Illinois, right, Ray?
Yep, that's
Orland
where I'm at.
Park, Orland
the FBI
Park.
Don't know that, but don't let them.
Yeah, Orland Park.
Don't make it easy for them to track me down.
I understand. And we're talking Nader here, though. The phones are lit up with Nader calls. People are still very interested in this whole Ralph Nader thing. We want to talk a little bit more about Iraq in a bit, but since we're going, we're doing a Nader thing, let's dive on in here. I was just looking at some of the Nader quotes on YouTube, and some of them were just too incendiary even to put on the air, even on Nova M Radio. He's got some really interesting... One of these days, you know, this week while we're doing this, he talks a lot about corporate power, you know, and the abuse of corporate power and the immense amount of it that courses through our lives on a daily basis. We should talk about that a little bit. But for now, let's zip a little back here. Let's take a look who's been on for a while. Let's talk to Terry right here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Terry, you are on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron Freeman and Ray Hanania.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Terry.
As for Gore in Florida and Ralph Nader,
yes,
as
sir.
A matter of fact, the Socialist World Workers Party candidate in Florida got over 5,000 votes, so you could say that he elected Bush also.
Well, there was a conspiracy to elect Bush, I guess. That was.
Anyway, I voted for Ralph Nader in 1996, in 2000, 2004, and if Hillary Clinton is the nominee in 2008. Ralph Nader not only did not harm the Democratic Party, he wrested the soul of the Democratic Party back from the corporate clutches of the Clinton and the Clintonistas, who are trying to grab it back again.
Now, wait, in what way did he wrest the soul of the party back from the Clintons?
Well, very simply, by the defeat of Al Gore and the Clintonistas, the Democratic Party in the wilderness found its soul, which it now has, and which, again, the Hillary is trying to take it back and make it another corporate entity like the Republican Party. By the way, for those who are always whining about the war, there's an old saying, which is, if the people will lead, the leaders will eventually follow. And instead of whining, what we should be doing if we oppose the war is demanding from all of us that we join in and support a national general strike until the Democratic Party cuts funding for the war.
Now, Mr. Nader, I'm certain, would point out that our corporate media would have no interest in letting us even know such a thing was being organized.
Well, it would be hard to stop. If you remember, or maybe you don't remember, back in the Christmas bombing of Hanoi, when the left decided to derail the war in Vietnam and turn out the lights on the Nixon administration. And when Richard Nixon realized that he didn't have enough troops for Vietnam and guard all the power lines to stop blackouts, the war ended.
So you believe, well, I mean, that's a really interesting idea, a national strike. That would be really interesting and fun. I hope that we have some leaders or some incentives.
You don't need leaders, you need the people. It's not the leaders that don't have the guts to do it. What the people from the bottom have to organize and get these labor unions off their fannies and supporting this. There are a lot of people around this country who want to do something to stop this war. We are now the majority. The majority can put its foot down and have a national general strike, and the business community will make the leaders, because the national general strikes are bad for business, help us get them to get out of this war. And it's the people who have to do this, not the leaders. Like I said, if the people will lead, the leaders will eventually follow.
You know, Terry, that's maybe the most hopeful thing anyone said here all evening. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Be well. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be just fabulous if there was this groundswell of people who wanted to set a date and really have a genuine national general strike to force these guys to listen to us?
Well, the way I look at it, I wanted Ralph Nader to win because he's Arab, and I figured that's the easiest way to take over the West, all right?
That's right. He's Lebanese.
He's Lebanese, and if he didn't make it, Barack Hussein Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama.
My man.
He's kind of the young, good-looking Ralph Nader.
Good guy, yeah. Now, you know, I know there are a lot of you know, Nader supporters are much more energetic about expressing themselves. Oftentimes. So, you know, they come out and, you know, much more, you know, than their actual numbers, because obviously he did get significant votes, but,
sure.
You know,
Ray, that, don't you think that he would have gotten more votes if people had not lost hope? If people believed that he could have won, he would have gotten a lot of votes, because so often we just end up voting for the lesser of the two evils because we think that's the best we can do.
Right, and listen, you know, I've been a reporter, like I said, for 3 decades or more. But
you're so old, Ray. You're so old.
Yeah, you know, I'm still a reporter. I'll always be a reporter. But one thing I've learned, that you still have to blame the candidate. Because, you know, it's their job when they can't, if they're coming out there and they can't reach all the voters. You know, when you only get, and it's significant, 5% of the vote or whatever he got, it was right, or maybe, I don't remember the percentage, but why don't people hold him responsible for not winning over more people to his side? You know, is it because the media didn't cover him?
But again, you are a reporter, you're a journalist, and you know that the media in this country is a very, very, very formidable critter. And if the media culture, if the media fashions du jour are not with you, it's a tough one.
Yeah, it could be, but you know what? You stick it out. I mean, look at the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, that's true. The Dixie Chicks.
They took a beating, remember?
That's true, for
coming out.
I'm embarrassed to be from Texas.
And then they won all 5 of their Grammy Awards.
You
last,
got it.
Last night, I think, right?
That's right. Let's take another call here. Let's talk to Terry. Terry in Maryland, welcome. You are on the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron and Ray.
Hi. I also wanted to weigh in on the Ralph Nader issue.
Yes,
I don't think that he caused Gore to lose the election. For years, people were saying that they couldn't tell the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and the reason that is, I blame that on the DLC, because they started bowing to the whims of their corporate donors. And really, what I see has happened is that both parties have split into two. There's the neo-fascist, and then there's the traditional Republicans, and there's the DLC who bows to corporate power, and the traditional Democrats. And that's why people aren't seeing a difference, because the DLC have become nothing more than corporate whores. And so we have corporate media that is picking who the nominees are. Look what they did to Howard Dean, Dennis Kucinich, Jerry Brown. You know, it's just.
But it was the DLC that DLC as embodied in Rahm Emanuel, another Illinoisan, who got the Democrats, who engineered the Democrats' retaking of the Congress.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of static.
The DLC, as much maligned as they are and as much as they deserve our anger, they did, in the person of Rahm Emanuel, engineer the Democratic regaining of the Congress. And that's something to note. They're terrible, but they're not completely and totally terrible. But Ms. Terry, you want to hang on? We'd love to chat, continue this for a little bit more. If you would hang on till for the next segment, can you stay with us, Terry?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, this is Aaron Freeman hanging in here with my good buddy Ray Hedonia. This is the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. I want to tell you, you can also listen on NovaMRadio.com, and if you do that, you can get a chance to join the Founders Club, be a founding member of Nova M Radio. Just head on over to NovaMRadio.com. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for the great one from the Mike Malloy. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back for another segment here of a little bit more Nader defending. We had some Nader bashing, we'll have some Nader defending, and we'll talk about a few more things here on the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio.
you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times, see? In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda. If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times, see? In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle.
All right, and here we are catapulting the counter propaganda. You ever hear that one before, Ray? That was a new quote to me. That was a new clip.
No, I hadn't heard that one.
That was a new one.
But, you know, when I hear him talk a lot of times now, you know, it's been 6 years, I just tune them out.
I understand.
I don't know what else to do.
Aaron Freeman here on the
mic. I'm just holding my breath for two more years.
I understand. But if we can get that impeachment thing happening, maybe a couple more months. Anyway, I'm Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy, talking to Ray Hedonia and Terry out in Maryland, talking about this Nader-Gore controversy once again, the controversy that just won't go away, at least this evening. Terry, you still with us?
I'm still with you, and I'm holding my breath, too.
It could happen. Now
we're all turning into blue states, okay? That's what blue state means. People that have been holding their faith, their breath, until they're blue in the face, you know? So.
That's what it is.
Well, you know, I'm a Chicagoan. We were blue before blue was cool. We were the bluest state of the bluest state. So, Terry, is there anything else you wanted to say about this whole Nader controversy?
Yeah, and I think the people that voted for Nader, he wasn't really taking votes away from Gore. He was getting votes from people that may not have voted because they were looking for someone, the Democrats anyway, were looking for someone who was holding true to the Democratic value, the Democratic Party. And the DLC isn't doing that. They're bowing to corporate interests.
Well, I think you would find that view finds a lot of support in this audience, and you may well be right. Thank you so much, Terry.
Sure. You have a good evening.
Same to you. It's Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy, talking and being joined by my ace droogie here, Ray Hedonia. And let's talk to Jim in Virginia Beach. Jim in Virginia Beach, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, thank you. The first thing I want to say is I don't think it's really right to even blame Nader or any of the candidates or the voters. The whole problem lies with the Electoral College, and we've got to get rid of that. Because if you don't get rid of that, it doesn't matter. I mean, the people spoke. Gore still won a majority vote.
But do you not buy the notion that the existence of the Electoral College, but for the Electoral College, then candidates would only campaign in the most populous states and states with lesser populations who still have issues and still have needs and still have concerns that should be addressed would be ignored?
No, because I think that, votes should go one person's vote, should count as one person's vote. You're talking about the needs of the nation in general when you're talking about a national election, not individual state elections.
But
the
nation is, some would argue, that the nation is composed of 50 individual states.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question.
Yes,
do you know,
sir,
who your state electors are?
I have no idea who I think Ray Hedonia is one of mine. No,
oh, 99.99% of people don't. And the reason why is because they're appointed. Do you know who appoints them?
The governor.
No, the two major parties.
Oh, you mean the representatives, our elected representatives, or just the parties? I don't know, actually.
You know what, I'll tell you what, the less I know about our electoral system, the more confident and better I feel, okay? Because I don't want to know these things, okay? And I'm already depressed about this. See, I think you're right. I hate the idea that it can all come down to one state and one electoral vote, and a fight over a few votes in one precinct in Florida. That upset me because
it
negated everybody around the country. But, you know, Aaron has a good point. I mean, let's be honest. You know, it's a tough situation. How about we change the system? You know, and why can't you? You know, I mean, why can't you use your vote to get other people to vote with you to get the system changed.
I've been trying real hard to get the system changed because, first of all, you know, yeah, you might say that you got to consider a state with 10,000 people equally to a state with 5 million people, just to use absurd numbers. But
sure.
The fact of the matter is, though, really, those 5 million people, I think, need to have their votes counted individually, just like the 10,000 people.
But there are, you know, but there are needs that are particular and peculiar to individual states. For example, we live in Illinois, which has a very
governors to push those issues with their senators.
But Illinois policy, I mean, there are national policies that impact the specific industries in Illinois. But, I mean, I understand, obviously we understand your point, and one person, one vote is a very sacred and hoary concept that we all respect a lot. Thank you very much, Jim, for talking. Thanks for calling up on the Mike Malloy Show. This is Aaron Freeman sitting in with Ray Hedonia on the Mike Malloy Show. We are on Nova M Radio, NovaMRadio.com. Become a founding member. See you in a little bit. Oh, Aaron Freeman here, and we are back on the Mike Malloy Show. Aaron Freeman sitting in, joined by my ace buddy, Ray Hedonia, on Nova M Radio, enjoying having a little fun here with Ralph Nader, talking to the controversies over Nader. What?
And you know, Aaron, I was
yes.
just doing a little math here. I mean, if you really look at the way our electoral system is,
mm-hmm.
You know, let's say we have 1,000 people who are qualified to vote. Only half of them register, so you're down to 500. Out of that 500, only 40% or 200 actually vote. So that brings it down to about 100 on each side of the party. And in reality, 60% of those 200 people that vote are employed by the government. The other 10% are reporters. So you really come down to a handful of about 60 people that really are voting because they really care about this country, not because they're working for somebody. And half of those 60 people voted for Nader.
Well,
so the challenge is, how do you get the other 500 to register and the other 700 to vote?
It's true. You know, Jello Biafra talks about if we really had a democracy, the president of the United States would be nobody.
Well, and listen, I think that would be the best plan. Why don't we put the people in charge?
No.
But I have another theory.
Okay.
Why don't we make voting more like sex? More people would register to vote, and we'd get it over with faster.
Ba-ba-doom! That would be Ray Hedonia of Hedonia.com. Speaking of jokes, Sarge in Mississippi has a joke for us. Sarge, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, as you've been welcomed so many more times, so many times before. Sarge?
Right now.
Oh, wait.
Hello?
Hey, Sarge.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, I want to tell you something. I hear all this. It was Nader's fault. It was Gore's fault. It was Staples' fault. It was No. Look, I live... Okay, you guys, one of you is from Chicago, so you know what Mississippi means to Chicago, like
my
as
family.
In Walter Payton?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, now Walter Payton and I live in the same town Walter Payton grew up in. He was my high school classmate, okay?
Okay.
Now, the Bears never won a Super Bowl until Payton came along, right? And he came from Mississippi.
Okay.
Okay, so, and the thing that made it happen was because God said that Walter Payton would turn up in Chicago, just like God said George Bush would be president, and then God made the vote. So, hey, look, that's part of it all, huh?
That's true, it's true. God did make the vote, and I'm sure that's part of the manifest destiny.
Listen, before I go, seriously, I'm leaving in the morning. I'm heading to Baton Rouge to meet up with Sean Ryan and the KPHX crew of trucks. And for, I hope not the last time, but certainly for one of the last times from this spot before the trucks arrive, I want to once more thank all the wonderful people who have done so much for the people down here, in spite of all this godly talk that these morons around here speak of. It's actually people getting down and doing what they should do that's making the difference.
All right. Thank you very much. And so the listeners, of course, many people, many of the Mike Molloy listeners, have donated very generously to the victims of Hurricane Katrina.
I tell you what, it's amazing, and I just can't say enough.
Well,
and I appreciate every bit of it.
And we sure you do, and we appreciate the work you do, Sarge. Thanks a lot for your volunteering, for your efforts. We appreciate
Bye-bye.
It. Bye-bye. This is the Mike Molloy Show. Don here with Ray Hanania, and my name is Aaron Freeman. We're here on Nova M Radio. We're going to take, I think we're coming up to a break here. Is that right? No, we're not. I thought we just got back. All right. We are going to be right here. Let's take a look. Ray, you're still here, right?
Yeah, I sure am.
All right. Let's say hello to Bill. Bill, you are on the Mike Molloy Show.
Hello.
Bill, that's you.
Yeah, actually, this is Jim.
Oh, hey, Jim. Okay, hi, Jim.
Hey, I got dropped before, there was one other comment I wanted to make.
Oh, Jim, you talking about the national strike. I'm sorry. Yes, you did get dropped.
Yeah.
Nothing personal.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Blame it on Nader.
That's it.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no. This station is great. I wish all the media was telling everybody all the stuff that you guys are. This is fantastic.
But, we're trying.
But one of the things that I'm really concerned about when I hear about this national strike is that, you know, Bush has three executive orders that he signed a year ago in November that gives him sole authority to declare martial law without even contacting Congress. And the second one, to use U.S. and foreign troops on our soil against our own citizens. And the third, he just took control of the National Guard from all the state governors. And that the founding fathers had set up to keep any tyrant leader from ever using our own military against us. So if you call a national strike without getting those orders canceled first, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, let us hope that we can figure out some way to have a national strike without getting... Well, although, if you call a national strike, you're looking for trouble.
Well, what I think we need to do, though, is if we can organize a national strike, why can't we organize a large enough protest to get it through to Congress that, one, they need to immediately put in a bill to censor Bush so that he, A, can't call martial law like that, and, B, he can't attack Iran, and then that we can proceed with impeachment. You know, if you can get a national strike organized, we ought to be able to get, you know, millions of people on the Capitol Mall and not have them trying to pass off the November election as being a statement just on Iraq. It wasn't. It was more, I think the November election was the voters saying, hey, we've had enough of Bush and Cheney. You know, we've had enough of this corporate fascism, and we've had enough of the war.
Well, let us hope that that message is heard by at least some of our Democratic the Democrats who we elect, some of the Democratic politicians, and let's hope that some action can happen. That's why I've been barring that. Let us hope that people like you can organize on forums like this on NovaM Radio, and let's hope that we can make something happen that'll give us hope. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and okay. That, we got to keep the blogs open.
And keep
now
the blogs. God bless
that.
The Internet. Right, thank you very much, Jim. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, let's just try one more here. Let's try Judy. Judy, you are there. Judy in Baltimore.
Hi there.
Hi there, darling.
Hi there. I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all our media is owned by five large corporations.
With the exception of the Internet, but go ahead.
With the exception of the Internet, and thank God for that. But so nobody really gets fair coverage, and I worked on a couple campaigns, and I know that the big money gets the campaigns. So we can talk about this guy in the Democratic Party doing all this to save people, but, you know, and get the Democrats elected. But when
Rahm Emanuel. I mentioned Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel. Bah. We're all just sick of it, you know, sick of the Republicans. But getting back to my point, I've met Ralph Nader, but, you know, I voted for Clinton. I voted for Gore. I voted for Kerry. And when it came down to the voting machines and the big mess in Ohio that happened there, Kerry wasn't even in the country, and I was on Capitol Hill listening to them contest the election, and no Democrats stood up. After which, I decided to get involved in politics. I'm independent. You know, I'm not registered with any party, really. And, you know, I just perchance had the chance to meet Ralph Nader and listen to him speak. And I always thought, God, he's like this lunatic. You know, when the media makes him this, and he's a spoiler, and he's that and the other, and he's anything but.
He's not a lunatic, and he says a lot of things that give a lot of hope to a lot of people and also make tremendous amounts of sense.
Well, it gives it gives hope to some people. I wouldn't say relatively not a lot. I mean, he does give hope, a voice to a lot of people who feel disenfranchised, not part of the system. He cannot reach the mainstream people in America.
When it comes down to it, when are the people themselves, and Randy Rhodes is right about this, when is the Green Party going to create a caucus? And when are the people themselves going to form another party? You know, when it comes down to it, it has to do with people not being sheep and believing the false media that's on TV and doing it for themselves.
He was a great consumer advocate. I got to give him that. I mean, he was a great, strong consumer advocate. That's what brought him to the attention of a lot of people. But somehow he was never able to translate that popularity into electoral support out there, significant support.
Well,
you just can't get it.
But hopefully,
no media, you know, no attention to it, but the people themselves need to rise up and make a party.
But we do see that increasingly people are looking to forums like this and to the Internet for there are alternative media sources out there, and we can only hope, and there's reason to have hope, that the alternative sources are going to be able to allow people to get messages out that are not filtered by the corporate media, and we will be able to get a cleaner shot, to get some fresher air, some better information. And
I hope so. I want a good candidate.
Well, let's hope that some will develop into good ones.
I just want a candidate who'll just tell me the truth, okay?
Now wait a minute.
I would love to get one candidate just to say, Ray, look, here's the truth, and it's ugly. I'm sorry, I have to bring you the bad news.
I know.
I could trust a guy like that. That would make me feel good.
The Truth and Depression Commission we need. Thank you very much, Judy.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
It's Aaron Freeman on the Mike Malloy Show here with Ray Hanania. We got one more segment coming up after this, and then we'll call it a night. But you can still call 1-800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. It's Nova M Radio. The revolution starts right here. Better than your God. Ian is just having way too much fun. This is Aaron Freeman sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Nova M Radio Network. Well, Ray, how much fun is this, dude? Thanks so much for being with me.
I love it. This is great. Just talking to people out there, really, you know, on a serious side, you really get to understand what they really care about instead of. I read every newspaper around the country online or in print, and, you know, sometimes you wonder, is this really what we're thinking? I think it comes out tonight.
Now, I want to say also let the Mike Malloy listeners know that tomorrow and for the next 3 days, of course, the House of Representatives is going to be doing speeches about the Iraq War, about the escalation/surge, and we're going to be all over that. We're going to have a whole lot of speeches coming in tomorrow. We're going to be playing some of the best clips from the House speeches. Each member gets 5 minutes, so we'll be playing some of the best speeches and, of course, taking your calls, as always, here on Nova M Radio. In fact, let's take one right now. Let's take a call from Bill in Los Angeles. My brother, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show with Aaron and Ray.
Oh, hello. How are you doing tonight?
It's the best day of my life.
I'm just wondering, everybody sits here and talks about how, you know, nobody likes the war and all this other stuff. I understand there's, you know, some people out there that do, but since the Democrats have been elected, not a dang thing has been happened other than just a bunch of talk.
It's true.
So I'm just trying to figure out why. And then everybody says the troops are pretty much against it, but re-enlistment is up and people are still enlisting. So if people were, the troops were against it.
I believe
then,
they're offering very large cash bonuses to re-up.
Well, very large cash bonuses, but if you truly believe in something, then I don't think a bunch of money is going to...
Yeah, you make a good point. You go to Iraq and you look at how the insurgents have a never-ending line of people who are volunteering.
That's true.
To, you know, sacrifice their life for something they believe in, whether we agree with them or not. They've got a long line, and nobody's paying them anything.
They are the Iraqi Homeland Security Forces.
Right. I mean, and what do we believe here? We got to pay everybody to re-enlist, and we can't even get that many people
Bill,
to re-enlist. We got to send people back 3, 4, 5 times.
But it sounds like, Bill, it sounds like you're saying, though, that the anti-war sentiment is not as strong, not as great as some in the media would have us believe.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, I'm a U.S. soldier, and I believe in what we did in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and everybody blankets the two together when nobody has actually been over there and seen what has happened. I mean,
well, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that Iraq had anything to do with September 11th?
No, I don't. And neither did President Bush. He said that already.
When did he say that? He may have. Must have changed his mind, must be looking at the polls. But here's the other thing. After we invaded, of course. Why Iraq?
Also,
why did we take down Iraq? There's so many other dictatorships doing terrible things to people. Why don't we invade all of them, too? Why are we stopping in Iraq?
Unfortunately, Iraq drew the short straw. They were the ones that did something worse in the past 10 years, and Iraq was that bad guy that had to be taken out. If we were to pull out of Iraq right now, you would have something 10 times worse than what's happening in Darfur. If we were in Darfur right now, everybody would be okay with it, but we're not. So, I mean,
unfortunately,
Saddam Hussein, he just drew the short straw, and we also gave him an ultimatum to get out of Iraq. He chose not to.
But, Bill, since the U.S. has been there for these 4 years, things have just gotten worse for the Iraqis and for the United States, haven't they?
Yes, but if we pull out now...
A U.S. soldier
dies, like, you know, they're still dying over there, but they're killing off their own people hundreds at a time. They're finding people bound and gagged and tortured and killed, you know, 20, 25 at a time. If we pull out tomorrow, what do you think is going to happen to that country?
Well, aren't we training the Iraqi people not to stand up for their own cause by fighting their conflict, by taking out their leaders? I'll be honest with you. I was no big fan of Saddam Hussein. The guy was a tyrant. But I didn't see him to be much different than many of the other tyrants who happen to be our buddies. You know, as long as they were our friends, they were okay. But why shouldn't they fight their own war? Why don't they stand up and throw away the chains of oppression? Why is it that we have to do it when we really had nothing at stake in there other than maybe oil?
Well, it's not oil. I mean, if you hold a cell phone or you drive a car, then you are just as bad as anything else. I mean, America's run on oil, it has nothing to do with that. It's just the simple fact that those people were being oppressed and somebody had to stand up and do something about it.
So, Bill, you're saying that we invaded Iraq to end oppression?
I believe that was part of it. And I also believe that the major point was the fact that we had airplanes slammed into buildings and we were stating a point saying, you do this, if anybody in the world does this to us, we're going to invade you. And we're going to make you pay. And like I said, Saddam Hussein, he unfortunately drew the short straw and, you know, threw a dart at a board or whatever. But, you know,
I wish we'd get that same attitude about Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Pakistan actually has nuclear weapons. You see, that's the thing. You can't mess with the ones that actually have weapons.
Now, you look
North Korea? Why don't we invade them? What are we afraid of? Let's go for it. You know, that's the thing that upsets me the most. You know, Iraq was an easy target. The guy was
a
big-mouth tyrant who beat up on his people.
North Korea would be
just as easy of a target.
All right. Well, listen, Bill, we really appreciate you calling up. We're just out of time. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Well, Ray Hanania at Hanania.com.
And if they forget my webpage, they can go to the FBI webpage, and they'll find me listed 15th on the...
All right. This is Aaron Freeman. Delighted to be here. I'll be here until for the next three nights, sitting in for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy Show. This is Nova M Radio on the Nova M Network. Call, go to NovaMRadio.com. Become a founding member of Nova M. And, you know, listen as often as you can. We have a lot of great shows here, a lot of great hosts, a lot of great action. This is a great forum. This is your radio station. This is going to be your revolution when we take back our country. The grabbing, the re-snatching will start right here. Thanks, Rehead and Nia. Love you very much. It's Nova M Radio. I'm Aaron Freeman, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Thank you so much for listening, and have the best day of your life.